Welcome to PGC, everyone. Final episode and all of that. But I have to tell you, we are going out with a bang because our guest on today's episode, if you probably looked at the image, you probably know who it is. But it was beautiful. It was an amazing episode. I cannot wait for y'all to hear it. It was good for me to even share it. It came with a lot of vulnerability. Some, of course, all of you know me by now. I want to create its own episode for it. Hopefully I get to do that. But it was a great one, and I am looking forward to y'all listening. So grab a cup of coffee, juice, anything. If you're driving, hold your steering wheel, because this is about to get amazing with loads of blessings. See you on the other side. Welcome back to... I know. I can literally hear people like, how dare you be gone for this long? It has been like officially 3 months since our last episode, and I am so sorry. I apologize that the final episode is coming out this late, but there's no better time than now. Welcome to the final episode of season 2 for PGC, Pink Glasses Convo. If you're new here, I am the host. My name is Olaolua, and today's episode, it's gonna be amazing. the devil has definitely tried to make sure this episode doesn't happen, but it's gonna happen by fire and by force, by fire and by brimstone. And so today, I have my lovely husband, Israel, and Joring is our, so I'm calling my husband's name like be our family last name. Like, what's the word now? Like, Oyinbo, you know, Israel and Joring, yes, that's how you say it. I have my husband with us today. I have been oppressed to make sure that this episode comes out, because every time I make reference to him and all of that, he's always like, you don't talk about me enough on your podcast. So today I decided to serve you all the full dish, just make a whole episode with him, and just kind of talk about us. I know, like, my relationship history, quote unquote, isn't something that I've like necessarily brought to the podcast, into ministry, for several different reasons. And so I'm excited that I finally get to do this. And we're just kind of gonna talk about us and talk about long distance, talk about the journey through that, you know, talk about dating even young as, or courting even young as believers, a very non-orthodox history, or over a year of marriage and how that has been. I mean, this intro is even taking more than he needs to, but anyways, y'all, one day again I will figure out the clap, but I'm introducing my husband to you, Israel. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, good day, everyone. Yeah, my name is Israel. First, I was dragged into this, and I never forced myself in. So,
I did not drag him in.
So good to see you. I'm glad.
Where are you seeing them from? Why are you saying it's good to see them? Where did you see them? Your dream.
Oh gosh, don't make this awkward for me.
You said good to see you. Where did you see them?
So it's good to be here and to support my wife. And
I'm kind of helping your career because you're going to be popular after this. He's not shy, y'all. Okay, that's it. I'm done. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Israel. Andrew is my last name, our last name. And I'm just happy I'm supporting my wife, as we are all told we have to support our wife in everything they are doing, and this makes her happy, and I'm more than willing and happy to support her. So
tell us about yourself. Yeah, more than my husband, and I'm more than your wife. So who you are, what do you do, how may we know you?
Obviously, I'm an accountant.
What's obvious about that? But okay.
So good. Everyone, just please listen to me.
My own podcast. Hey.
I'm an accountant.
About to go down.
I'm a professional accountant. I'm also a professional photographer. You're making me miss my words.
Ha.
I'm also a professional for
on my own podcast though. On my own podcast. Move on.
I also am a big volunteer. Like every of my little time that I have doing anything that is personal to me, I just go volunteer. I volunteer at great places, various food banks, furniture companies also. And I think that brings us to the end of my intro.
Wow.
And I am the last born of my mom, my father, and yeah.
Peace out. Wow. Y'all see how he almost like hijacked like my episode. But anyways, good to meet you, sir. I did not drag him. Before y'all come and drag me, I did not drag him. He oppressed me because every time I record, and he's like, right there, and he's like, hey, Nawal, the one day you didn't used to talk about me, blah 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 sheep. Anyways, so I don't know where to start from. Like, this episode is supposed to be pretty chilled. So I don't know, let's talk about us. How did we start? I don't know, there are two versions to this start story, and I've had to say it a few times in the last couple of months. So let's hear your version.
Yeah, let's hear your own version first.
You already get now. Wow, guess the third presenter waiting they go talk this live. Let's
hear your version first.
Okay. Is it able to hear my version? So we met in church. We met in our home church back in Nigeria. I was born into the church, but he joined as a teenager, and we didn't like each other at all. It's like when church girl meets Christian bad boy, kind of, right? And can you all hear him like deep sigh? That's it. That's the beginning. And so I'm gonna like summarize this, but we spent years just like not even saying hello to each other or saying hi to each other. And then we had a friend, my childhood friend, his best friend, who, by the way, we have to call out because he kind of played both of us. But anyways, moving on, he went through, you know, things in his family and all of that. I don't have permission to share his family history, so I won't. But and we both had to be there for him in that situation, and that's kind of how it started. I think I was in my 300 level in Unilag, and he was like writing his professional accountant stuff, and he was trying to look for like a tutorial center, and I think he chose the one close to my school, and then we would talk, blah blah blah. And then he always talks about how long I made him wait. I kind of didn't not make him wait, but that's his story to tell. I didn't make him wait at all, y'all. But yeah, that's kind of how we started, and that was in 2015. And then, I mean, we were friends all through 2015, but we started kind of talking. The reason why we didn't like each other's gut was because he would always like make side comments in like youth church. And I'll just be like, who is this unbeliever? Who is this sinner that is talking when our youth coordinator is talking? And so, yeah. And then we did that up until 2016, I think. And then asked the question, and I was like, huh? Hell no. And then I didn't make him wait long ago. I'll let him say how long I made him wait. Air quotes with that one. And I think we started April 2016. Yeah, I think so. What are your comments or deviation? This literally feels like an interview, y'all. But
first, they say a wise man will say, everything she said is correct.
That's a lie.
Our friend made us come together, and what again? Nothing. And I didn't like her girl, like she said, and she didn't like mine either. And it was just normal. And we're just like, but we just figured it out, you know.
Why are you trying to be nice to? It's okay. Don't be nice to me. We've already shown them the side. There's no need. Just speak your mind.
So we just figured it out, and I just felt like she was too religious for my likeness.
Wow.
and I felt she was too religious for my likeness, and then I was like, oh yeah, I am religious myself also, but I'm not too religious. I just want to do what the Bible says, and I'm a jovial person. You won't take that out of me. No, you're gonna take that out of me. And I guess she didn't like that side of me.
Nope.
And I won't stop because I didn't even care about it at all. So I was just like, okay, I'm gonna do it regardless of what she says. And sometimes I'll be my friend, my girl, and she'll just casting my friend. I'll just be with my friend, and she'll just come in our middle and just like, I need to talk to you, and then boom, I'm like, what? But eventually we go along, and then everything really worked out, and then she saw a different side of me, and she knew that it was not just Israel. I'm just nice and nice guy that is just okay. I think I'm talking too much.
You're not talking too much. It's supposed to be he's not gentle. Everybody that knows you right now and listening to this podcast are gonna be like, wow, so this could happen. But what changed for you? Because you're talking about, well, you kind of talked for me already when you said that, like, I saw a different part of you. I'll say my side of the story, but to you, like, what changed from, oh my gosh, I don't like this girl's gut, to let's give it a try?
Yeah, what really changed for me was that I already had in mind that I was gonna, obviously, I'm gonna marry someday, and the person I'm my first, what is before the appearance or anything, is just the person has to be God fearing, and she managed to fit the category of, like, wow, the God fearing lady, the person that loves the Lord, and I saw that she loves the Lord, and I'm like, okay. Okay.
So you didn't like me because of my religiousness, but then you liked me because of my religiousness. Make it make sense.
I'm just saying that. Just what is up with these accents, Joseph? I'm just saying.
I'm glad you called yourself out, because I was about to call you out.
I'm just saying that.
Same boo.
I'm trying to. I don't know. The thing is, even doing it. Okay, let's come back to. Let's come back home. Honestly, I've been trying to.
I'm so not gonna edit this out.
Oh gosh, please.
I won't. You are telling me to edit in my. You are the hardest guest I've had on this show this season.
How? Okay. honestly, I just, I had it down that I was going to cherish anyone that loves the Lord and was going to go far and beyond for me. And that was just like my only goal I had down, and she fits into that category.
So you had standards.
Because you, from the outside, you were seeing me like this,
an unbeliever.
This guy that does give side comment at youth group and everything, or youth church, which I didn't even stop. That didn't change me either. So I was just ready to like go far and beyond. Like, okay, let's just give this a shot, and if she says no, and then I'll face my front and just carry my bike and be going on. But at the long run, it paid off, and then look at where we are today.
Wow, the prize winner. But no, I think like that is very true though, because, and you can kind of speak into this as well, is that like truly you did have that standard, and just the same way I did not give you the opportunity to see the other side of me until much later, like you didn't see that side of me too, if that makes sense.
What side?
That's, I'm the only fine girl that you know.
No, I she's not fine. Please, everyone.
You are telling the general public that the wife of your youth is not, wow.
Yeah, that
you're supposed to be like really mean.
That was never a criteria for me. It was just like,
I know
she was God fearing from the onset. I'm like, okay, let's just give it a try if this is gonna work. And like I said, look at how far we've gone and look at where we are now. So
I mean, true, but I mean, in all seriousness, I think it was the same for me. Like he initially kind of touched on, was all I saw was that unseriousness, that like he was just always giving side comments, and he just didn't seem like someone who knew the Lord or loved the Lord. And I mean, I've talked a little bit about being a pastor's kid and that history, and being a church girl, which doesn't translate to being an actual God-fearing believer, but that's a whole different conversation. And so when we started talking and had to be there for our friend, then I kind of got closer to him, and I said that he actually knew the Lord. He knew the Lord a little bit more than I did. You know, like he read books and things like that, and you know, his prayer life was strong. And I was like, oh well, interesting, you know. And so that kind of helped put my guard down, or remove him from that brother zone that he had, which I mean, like he said, now the rest is history, which some of that history we'll talk about. But like, I think even going off of that, babe, like let's talk about the journey after that. So we've talked about where we started, we've talked about how we got there, so to speak. Like, let's talk about, because I feel like our relationship was or is kind of divided into multiple phases. We had the time that we were dating when we were like in person together, and we're still growing. Like I said, like I was still in school, you were writing like your accounting exams and later got a job and you were working class and stuff. And then we had the long distance season too, which is a whole can be a whole episode. And then, you know, we have this marriage season. So let's talk about kind of being together, because when we're in person, we were still going to the same church and we were still serving. How did you handle that? How did you handle that phase?
In person, yeah. School, just go to church, be a normal person. Like,
wow.
Like I said, I literally don't like physical touch outside, you know.
Hey, wait, breaking time. I did not physically oppress him, for God's sake. You don't like physical touch. Before my mother's friends, God, listen to this now. They're going to be like, Ola Oluwa was touching, man. Please, that's,
Okay. Clear. Yeah, like I said, I really don't like physical touch, or I don't really like, I think we made it clear that, oh, women in church, this is a church.
True.
We should respect the fact that we are in church, and then, yeah, she struggled with it a little bit. Yeah, and and I was like, yeah, that this is a church. You wouldn't expect us to like cuddle or FYI, I mean,
we did not create this boy with my husband. So I'm taking away all my Christianity.
You know, we are married now, so this is we are on another level. Please cut it away.
Come back.
Cut all this is.
I will not cut
okay.
it. Okay. But it's not cuddle. No. Cuddling is not bad, but.
Yeah, we actually did not come. What I mean was that, okay, in church, like, we wouldn't act
we
like...
We just respected the church.
We wouldn't act like boyfriend and girlfriend in the church.
True.
But outside the church, yeah, people act as a normal Christian brothers and sisters.
We gave each other hands with our Jordan in between.
So that was one of the big
that's
points.
True.
And,
that's true.
And, yeah... What was the next question again?
No, that was it. Okay. Of like, kind of like, I mean, we'll talk a little bit deeper, but that's a good place to start. Of like, we put certain principles in place, because that was where I was kind of going to, was what principles do we put in place? And I'm making sure that we're not just sharing our story and y'all like caring about our love life. Well, true. And, you know, just to kind of maybe help like believers as much as we can, just based on our own experience. Now, I'm going to kind of just like do like a break in transmission and say this. Every single relationship is different. Every single marriage, we'll get there, is totally different. Now, I have learned that I take what I can or what I feel like the Holy Spirit is leading me to when I listen to people and I filter it. I discern, because if you're not careful, you're going to try to make your relationship like other people. Like, everybody's past, everybody's journey is different. And we'll talk about ours, you know, but whatever it is, and I just really hope that for people listening, either you're in a relationship or you're married or something, like something will bless you. This isn't, again, like I said, just to like share about a love story and laugh and giggle, but honestly is to ask that the Lord will really touch someone by something that we said. And so, coming back from that break in transmission, rather, we did have principles in place. I remember us talking about this, babe, where I remember you coming to my hostel. I think I was in third year. I remember you coming to my hostel then, and hostel is like, what's that, like hostel?
Yeah, it's hostel.
Hostel. And, you know, we talked about, like, what principles do we want to put in place in terms of physical touch, in terms of what we do and how we do what we do. Because we're both believers. And, again, this is in no way to shame anyone or shame anyone's process. But this was us, and God helped us. God helped us exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond. God helped us. But we talked about touching. We talked about kissing. We talked about sexual relations. We definitely touched on everything and cleared our principle to make sure that we were on the same page, right? That I don't know if you think different.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Doesn't matter, but that's a call for him. But it was the truth, though. We talked about, hey, we know that we cannot have sex until marriage. That was one thing that we both were very, very. I did not assume that because I met him in church that he knows that we're not supposed to have sex until marriage. He did not assume that because I was a church girl that automatically I went, like, we literally talked about, even though back in the day, like I said, I was a complete church girl. All these kind of conversations, I'll close my ear and be like, call my mommy and my daddy, you know, I never wanted to have conversations like that, but we had to. And like I said, he's the jovial person, and so conversations like that are nothing to him. It was just like spit out. I was like, "Ooh," but it was the truth. Like, we talked about things like that. We set those principles in place. We said, "Hey, we knew that if we do as close as kissing, we will be setting ourselves up for failure, because although kissing wasn't a problem, quote unquote, it could lead to the problem, which was sex before marriage, right?" And so we laid all those things down, which was very, 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 very helpful to us. And it held us accountable by the help of the Holy Spirit. Though we're not perfect, our bodies are not made of wood and steel, and holy water is blood and flesh, or flesh and blood. And God helped us. And so those are principles that really guide. And like he said, like, even when we're in church, we were serving, and we made sure that by the help of God, we held that decorum. Not like we ignored each other in church or anything like that, but we made sure that we held that. There was a time I was even really frustrated with him, because like, sometimes you see me touch, you just saw Juno, he would just take his face away, and I'm like, "Ah, what happened? Is he fight?" I remember we used to fight every single Sunday. Do you remember?
Do you know?
Wow, I did not say it now. I said this one have exposed family secrets. Never mind. Oh, yeah, see now. God help us in Jesus' name. It's a pattern that we have to break. We have to pray and break it. But it's true. It's like back then, even when we're like, when we were still dating, like every Sunday, there was always an issue, you know. And there are ways we handled kind of being respectful of each other, respectful of the house of God. I think one thing that we are seeing now, as people who did it as when we were much younger, is that we see people in relationship who, it's different if you're an adult, if you're a full-grown adult, so kind of different. But what we see now is like young people, young adults in relationships who in church and do not respect it. Like, y'all are like in dark places by yourself, y'all like talking to each other, and it's just like, what are you guys doing? Like, you are in the house of God, you know. But I pray God to help us. And so it's really important to like set principles. Was there anything that was really hard for you when we were dating? And those were like three and a half years, because that was from 2016 till 2019. It was about 3 years and a few. Yeah. 17, 18, 19. Yeah. So
for me, there was nothing hard during the first 3 years, because we had principles.
Mm-hmm.
No sex, no kissing. And I was, it's not like my body's made of wood anyways, but I have blood flowing all over my body, and it was just, I was just locked in, and that was it for me.
Yeah, I think for me it was also interesting because people knew that we were together. I mean, my mom didn't know until much later, which is a whole different conversation. But like, I remember like Israel's mom, like I'll see her in church and I'll be like, how do I, you know, like it was such an interesting dynamic. But anyways, like he said, like the first 3 years weren't really, they were basic. Now to the key was the other 2.5 years of long distance. I think that's probably what tested it. Me, I was strong, I handled it like a pro. It tested Israel's faith. Why are you looking at me like that? Did you not test your faith?
I will just be straight. I want to give all the story in just like maybe 30 seconds.
Wow.
And that's it. For me, it wasn't really hard for me to that extent, but we got to a point that I was like, first was that the first day she left the country and I was in Nigeria and she was here in the state, and I was like, oh, Okay, I cried that night. I never expected I was going to cry.
You never expected it.
I cried.
You crowed.
I cried. And I was like, why was I crying? I didn't know because...
It's funny. It's love.
What is that commercial?
Sorry, yo.
I never knew how important she was until she left. And you know, there's a saying that you don't know the value of what you have until you lose it. So that was like, it was very hard those first few days. Like, I don't have to call, and we had like a free cell phone call then, like, you know, in Nigeria, like, it's not prepaid, it's postpaid, right? Yeah, it's prepaid. It's prepaid. You pay for a month ahead, but in Nigeria it's supposed to be like, it's what you pay, it's what you buy, that's what you can use. So but I got a free SIM, we can text each other, we can call each other.
Oh, that's true.
You don't remember what I went through for you. So it was pretty hard a little bit, because yeah, when she left, then we started like, everything has to be, our communication has to be very hard. We needed to call more, we needed to text more, and I'm very bad with texting. I just like calling and then just talk about stuff and go on. But she's more of the, oh, let me type it out, let me write it out. So it became an issue. There were so many issues. And you know, sometimes my naughty friends would just be like, you should just move on with your life. And because I have a saying that, me too, I know what I get. I'm like, I know my value. So no woman can come and use me to do younger, even though you are in a quote and unquote a better place. You can't. I know my value. I know my worth. So if you call me now today and tell me that you are done, yeah, bye. Like, it's not like I'm that wicked or I'm a bad person. No, I'm just like, no, I know my worth. I know my value. So if you see those values in me, you don't have to say you done or you want to quit on me. So that was basically the whole story. And then, we started dating. Yeah, we sometimes a lot of fight. We're so weird, and we fight. Sometimes we fight for like weeks, 1 week, and I mean, I'll be like, wow, there's even a distance barrier, and you're still fighting again. You know, you can do your side comment. It will really help me.
Yeah, this life. I was helping you. You said I should stop side comment. I stopped.
So.
Chronicles of marriage, y'all.
So, she has made me lose my line of thought again. So, then
you're talking about how much we fight.
I know we fought a lot, and then sometimes or most times we overcome it, you know. And I wasn't understanding how ladies were built then. Now I'm getting really matured to understand that. Some things that I just trivialize or I just take for fun are what she really take. Sometimes I used to feel like she takes life more serious than I do. I'm like, life is not supposed to be hard, like I usually say. But she's like, no, we have to talk about this, we have to talk about this, we have to talk about that, you know. And we survived it. And there was a lot of times that I was just so tired, because I'm this kind of person, when something becomes an issue over time that I have moved on and she didn't move on about on it, she gets stuck there, and I'm like, I'm in the front, come meet me. And she didn't move, and I'm like, okay, do you know what, can we just say we are done with this? And then when I still tell her that we should cut all the alliances and everything and say we are done, then she comes and fights me again, that how dare me say that we should cut this relationship.
What do you mean? Just calling me out,
yeah. You know, and at the long run, it's happened, but I won't lie to you. Please, that was the real test to our relationship, was the long distance. FYI. Please, if you can avoid long distance relationship.
I knew he would say this.
Please. This is just my story. I'm not saying you should take it as an evidence. But if you can avoid it, please avoid it. Thank you.
No, your real voice is coming out. I beg to disagree on that last statement for a reason. Because I remember when we were... I'll walk my way back. I think I remember when we were... when I was about to relocate and people were asking us about our relationship and kind of what next. I remember everybody telling us not to try it. And yes, it was a horrible experience. It wasn't that bad.
I know it wasn't bad, but I just it's gonna test you guys.
Yeah.
And
yes,
it's gonna break you guys. It's
true.
It's gonna stretch you guys.
True.
And I don't know how we survived it. That's just.
But it's doable. It's doable. I don't want to describe people.
That's what I'm saying.
People discouraged us a lot, and I saw why when we were long distance. And it's doable. It's doable by the help of God. It's doable with wisdom. Two.
Yes. Yes, it's doable, everyone. Honestly, it is
doable.
But
it builds you.
It builds you. Test too. Of time.
It's a test of time and faith, but it's doable. I never want to discourage, because long distance is different for people. For us, long distance was by continent and country. For some people, they stay in the same country but they live in different parts of that country. It is doable. Like he said, I feel like it was hard, because back when we were together in person, I was the one that would be like, when we see, we would trash it out. Remember, I'd be like, I'm not talking on the phone, let's see. And so there wasn't that option of let's see. I can't be like, okay, I'll meet you at, sorry to my non-Lagos living people, I can't be like, I'm coming back from work, you're coming back from work, I'll meet you at Ogba bus stop, let's go and talk about it at SS or TFC or something, you know, or after church, you know, let's ride home together or something. Like, there wasn't that option, which I think was the hardest for me. So I had to learn a new way of communication. And a new way, you're gonna learn. I had to learn a new way of communication and conflict resolution, which I think was the hardest. Although this sounds super trivial, you wanna say something?
Yeah, one of the good things was that it really helped us to know that, okay, no sex. So there was no way we can oil the engine. You understand what I mean?
Stop!
So that's it.
Ah, children of this world. But true, like, that was a plus. And I think for me the hardest part was, and this is gonna sound super trivial, but we have two very different sleeping schedules. I think that was the hardest, because I can sleep at like 4 a.m. I know how to wake up late because I was a student, I was in grad school. He, on the other hand, Israel cannot see 9 p.m. He's gone. As in, he's gone. And so we had very difficult time communicating and finding time for communication. Because also, remember, which I think we even struggled with the most, it feels like we struggled with everything the most, is that we were both very, 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 I don't want to use the word busy, very involved people. I was here as a student. I was serving in my local church. I was part of an African fellowship. I was a research assistant / a graduate assistant. I was volunteering with the International Student Life Department. I was interning as well. And I was the best girl for all my friends, I hope. He, on the other hand, was working full-time, ran a full-blown photography and media company while he was serving our local church media and our denomination's media team as well. And he was part of a drama team with a different church. Like, we were both very, very involved people. So even finding the time made it hard. And so we barely survived, and we had a lot of conflict because already we were long distance. I think the biggest part of long distance, not to bore you all with our stories and all, is that you have made me lose my train of thought. I think the biggest part of long distance is really resolving the conflict and learning new ways of resolving the conflict. I think that's the biggest part of long distance, because you're not together, and so anything can be misunderstood.
I don't want to say that is like the biggest part. Is I think for us, what was the difference was that me, Israel, as a person, if something happens now, I kind of think through, and I was just like, I'll just say my mind about it, and naturally it's gone in my mind. But she, on the other hand, even though I texted her and just talked about everything on the phone or texted her about it, she still wants you to give her like 3 days, 5 days, or 1 week to think about or ruminate about it. And I'm like,
more like, I just like to process things, y'all.
I struggled with that a lot, and that was where we had issues, because me, I've moved past that preface. I'm like, I'm in the front, like I'm facing front, and she's still struggling back there, and we don't see each other, or we are like on FaceTime, and then she's like, she's good. It's just a lot, and that distance barrier was there, even though we're not there physically. So me, on the other hand, I've moved on, and then she'll still be like, you know, all the ladies come on September 30th, 2022, in the evening, where you were. She bring all the details as if she wrote it down or she filmed it, and I'm like, what? I can't even remember the clothes I wore then, and she's gonna tell you exactly. But even though she can't find an airport or where she kept anything, but she would remember the details when she wants to fight with you. So
this is so unfair, y'all. This is supposed to be my podcast. I'm supposed to be the star of the show, and guess what? My husband is just calling me out left, right, and center. But it's okay. See, this is reason 2065 why I never feature him. So y'all, please never tell me to feature him again. But that is true, though, is that we have different conflict resolution mechanisms. And I want to talk about that when we get into the marriage. I feel like that kind of is where we're going, is that marriage piece. But before we go there, since we're on the topic of long distance, if you were to give advice to somebody in a long distance relationship, or give advice, is
you gotta pray together. Let me be serious. First, just pray to God, and I think you should just see God's face and believe or know if this is actually gonna be like, just involve God in everything, because it's a lot, I promise, it's a lot. Just involve God. If God says yes to it, yes. If just put God first, like the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and just involve God in every step, and that's it.
Yeah,
it's not easy.
It's not,
and that's all, period.
It's not, and it's doable with God.
100%.
It's 100% doable.
But it's not easy.
It's not. And kind of even transitioning to the topic of marriage. And y'all did not hear him. He said, hey. I am nice. I promise y'all. I'm not maltreating Israel in any shape or form. I am very, 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 very nice. Kind of even transitioning to the conversation of marriage and kind of how we got there. I just want to say, for record's sake, like, it wasn't like, okay, this is what I wanted to remember. I just, like, we were not, like, obsessed, quote unquote, with each other. We were like, is that I marry you or not? You know, my life will not move forward. Like, that actually wasn't the case. Like he said, there were moments of conflict. One prayer that we prayed, which is a good transition into phase three, or the final phase of marriage, is that every single time we prayed, we said, God, if this relationship is not your will,
break it.
And we both prayed it wholeheartedly. And I will say, we prayed it up until we got to the court to sign those papers. Come on. Please say we prayed it. Yeah.
This was the life.
Ah!
But actually, that was just the truth. We prayed about everything, and we kept saying that if this is not the will of God, God should just call this out. Even though when we were, like, on the day of the court wedding, we're still saying that, God, if this is not your will, just make everything end. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife were busy taking pictures. All our family members and everyone, they were just angry that, where are all these people? And I was just like, if this is not the will of God, we are taking pictures, we are having fun. And I know this is the will of God, so I'm pretty sure about it. Okay.
It is the will of God, brethren. It is the will of God in Jesus' name. But that is true. We prayed that up until, even while our family was present in our hearts, leading, not because we wanted it to end for any reason or we were like hoping it will end. No, we were not hoping it will end. It was really our way of checking ourselves and making sure that we are submitting to God. And God did prove himself. I will break another transmission and say, this is to formally tender a public apology. Apologies to everyone to everyone that did not know I got married, that wasn't invited to my wedding, that has been offended by my marriage. I apologize from the bottom of my heart, and I mean it. I sincerely apologize. But how we got married, I don't know if I'm gonna go into that. That is a whole conversation and testimony that I feel like I want to leave for another episode. But
yeah,
in terms of that particular season of us getting married,
our life story 101.
Yeah. That's a little bit too, it's too deep.
First year of marriage 101, another episode.
Yeah, I mean, we'll touch on that first year of marriage a little bit, but probably go deeper in season 3, since we just crossed that level of first year in marriage. But the journey of me going home, of us getting married, of where we are now, trust me, you know, it was a journey. It was a journey of faith. It was a journey of hope. It was a journey of trust. It was a journey of complete surrender, right? And in all, we are grateful to have crossed that bridge. But honestly, to be completely honest, to all my peeps out there that have been or we're offended, I apologize. But life happened. Going past that, let's talk about year one of marriage.
How many years have you been married?
Well, I've passed year one, you're in year two now. In summary, kind of like just your, what did you first struggle with? Let's just start with that. In general.
Okay, yeah. It's pretty easy. First, what I struggled the most with, because there were a lot of struggles. What I struggled with the most is that I've actually lived my life as a, like my wife used to say, single pringle. And I'm a single pringle. I make my decision and I just share with my wife and my girlfriend then, or my fiance. I just share with her and then she does, why not do it this way? And you know, sometimes a man will just want to like achieve everything and then, oh, this is what I did that. And now when I wake up in the morning, I have to tell my wife, oh, I just woke up, I just did this, I just did that, I just did this, I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about... That actually puts me off a little bit because I'm like...
Accountability.
I have to be accountable to someone. Like, I don't think I was even accountable to my parents like this. The way I was accountable to my wife, like... I have to like literally share everything, and you know, and I've grew up my life. It's not like I don't share with my parents or family or friends, but I'm really, really have to be accountable with someone, like a 99.9%. Oh, that's a lot.
From a place of love, not from a place of compulsion.
No, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, okay, I wake up in the morning and like, oh, what do you think? Where are you going out? Oh, what time are you going to walk? Or what time am I going to walk? Or what time am I going? I struggle with it a lot. I guess that's the most I struggle with. That's like the...
Yeah, I think you did, but to be honest too, on some areas, I think you actually did it a lot better than I did. I asked for it, but I don't think I did it well too.
Ah, no, zero.
You can't even fake it. Oh, tell you, fake it, yeah.
No. Someone is telling you that if you should be accountable, and the person is not even.
That's it, yo. That's it. That's don't finish the statement. Mine. I remember this top of my head because I was having a conversation with one of my big aunties just today. And we were talking about it, but this is gonna sound so funny. But the one thing I struggled not for the entirety of marriage, but like the first few months, was the amount of times I have to cook. Hey. Okay.
Yeah, it didn't happen because... Yeah, I'll just give you soft hand in there because, you know... You know, we're both living our life. I guess it's gonna happen with everyone that just got married. Like, you were living your life as a single guy or a single lady, and then now you have to come live. Accountability does not mean about like saying everything. It can come in the place of like making food or maybe doing the heavy stuff or the hard stuff as a guy, you know. So I don't want to say like you struggled. We're trying as much as possible to consolidate ourselves, like our single life, and consolidate it. So that's like that was a big struggle, and the food was so we figured it out last.
We did. I guess I'm just acknowledging that it happened because of how we're trained in Nigeria. Literally from the time that you're 3 years old as a female, Everything you do, your mom is like, okay, permit me to speak my native language. I probably spoke it already. But your mom be like, translation, is that how you're going to do in your husband's house? And so it almost feels like you've been socialized or prepped for marriage in your husband's house. And then you actually get inside the husband's house and you're like, wait. This is not what I signed up for, man. You know, because for me, even living single, now let's say I was living with my mom up until the time we got married, it might have been different. You know why? Because I'll be cooking every single time. But I'd lived as a single Pringle for like 2.5 years by myself. I could cook and stuff, but I can come home and decide to drink garri, or come home and decide to not eat anything, or cook noodles when I actually have food, or actually decide this day I want to cook fried rice. But it was all on my own terms, at my own time. And then to actually get married in like, no, there's somebody else that I'm accountable to as well, going back to that accountability piece in terms of cooking, you know, and providing meals and things like that, that definitely was a struggle. But I think overall, when you're saying the first year of marriage, Israel touched on this a little bit, is our conflict resolution differences. And I'm going to like reel us back in. Please be nice. Is our conflict resolution differences, because like he said, and this is something that has been our entire, what has it been now, 7 years, is that Israel is like, I thought about it, it happened, I apologized, get over it, in a kind way. I am like, it happened, wow, when did this happen, why did this happen, what were the factors involved in the happening, how can I ensure this does not continue to happen, what was my part in this thing happening, what was his part, this thing, it pained me, no, it did not pain me, it's my fault, oh yeah, let me guilt trip, it's his fault out there. We have very, very different conflict resolution styles, and we still have it. I'm not gonna be like, oh, guess what, we are not perfect in conflict resolution. He said L'Oreal. You know, we aren't, and I think that has been like the biggest, aside accountability, has been one of the biggest learning curves for us, is learning how to manage conflict and respecting each other's ways, but also submitting to the help of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm also somebody who wants to be like, yes, yeah, I appreciate that you apologize, but let's talk about what happened to make sure it doesn't happen again, you know. And there are also times where I need to respect his point, where I'm like, on a scale of 1 to 10, Olaolua, just let it go. Do you understand? And there are times where he's like ready to let it go, and there are times where he's like, no, I have to be intentional about checking in and making sure that we process this. I don't know what you think about that though.
I don't have anything to say. I don't want to get in trouble anymore. So I like I said, even though till today I'm still that same person, I'm still like, I've processed it, I've checked it, and I'm sorry about it. Like, I'm really genuinely sorry about it. And that's it. Like, I just think, and the fun fact is that when in the conflict resolution, I don't lie. I genuinely say how I felt about something, and I'm like, I am sorry about it. I could have lied and just get over it, and then, like, for example, oh, she might say, oh, she has an headache today, and I'm like, oh, she has headache, and probably I didn't ask about the headache all day long, and the following day, and she'll wait for me to like, or maybe she'll be praying in her heart like, I never asked for about
I beg you to be
and
fine.
And maybe I didn't remember to ask how she feeling, and then she waits 24 hours later, and then
it's not 23 hours, 30 minutes,
and then she'll be like, I told you this exactly this time and you never said anything about it. And I'll be like, you know what, babe, I totally forgot about this and I'm genuinely sorry I didn't do it, or I didn't tell you, or I didn't ask you. And she might just look at me like, hey, is this guy not weird like this? But the truth is that I said the truth, that I am sorry. Like, it's not like I meant not to ask you. She knows I love her 100%. But if I forget, I forget. And it's not like, do I really want to forget about it? No. But she's angry because I didn't say it, or I didn't check. I told you I have headache and never even tried to even check on me or the old day and say, hey, just a text. How are you feeling about the headache? And me, Gamma, I've moved on with my life, you know. I've already put my head straight. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just how I can say it. Like, we're just different in our own ways. And she's a big processor. I'm not a processor. It's not like I don't process things. I find it very easy to like let things go of my mind. I'm like, okay, yeah. Life is not supposed to be hard, but it's not like she said she's a bad person, but she just takes time to like, and me, I don't like that part.
After he has already finished having me, he's not saying she said she's not a bad person. See this life. Don't trust. Stay good. I don't want to say stay wicked. What they can't say, which kind of podcast is this one? But that is true, and that, you know, when we're talking about phases in the marriage phase, that has been our learning curve, is learning how to meet each other in the middle of conflict resolution. I mean, we talked about so many things, like if you want us to go more into details, I feel like we should probably make marriage in itself like a whole different episode sometime when the Holy Spirit will come upon me to actually record that episode. But I think marriage has been a learning curve. It's definitely come with its own, as people always say. What would you say? Because I kind of want to make sure we're ending on good notes too. And just to really share from a place of vulnerability and honesty. You know, some people share the bad part and never share the good part. And make people scared of marriage. Some people share the good part and never share the bad part. And make people feel like marriage is just it without hard work, and you have to work. You have to work it out by the help of the Holy Spirit, but it's doable. It's very, very doable. What would you say is your favorite part of marriage? PG0, parental guidance. What's your favorite part of marriage? Is your parental guidance?
Oh, everything. They say PG, but everything and the intimacy, basically.
Ha! God forgive you. Bless your heart.
Don't let me say everything. Let me just be specific about what I really love about marriage. The Bible says, or is it the Bible that says it?
Ha!
To say two ends are better than one, I don't know if it's the Bible. I just feel. Yeah. So I feel that it gives you a leverage. That's just one of the reasons why it's good to marry. It gives you one leverage, and you know that, okay, someone got you like 100%, even though you are misleading yourself. Someone is always there to like criticize the thing you feel is good in your eyes, and most times they are not really good, but to just see with different eyes. Mm-hmm. and the intimacy, basically.
I think that also, and I'm so grateful, shout out to the Akinyemis. I'm just going to give them their shout out in public. Kenny and Taiwo. They are not the same Kenny and Taiwo, but they are Kenny and Taiwo. We went through A Book of Marriage together by Timothy Keller. And this was probably my biggest takeaway from the book, is that everything that God puts in our life marriage, children, professional work, career, talents, gifts, skills, family, history, finances, money, everything. All of it is to give God glory, and all of it is to achieve one purpose, is to still bring us to God. It is to still help mold us and shape us. And so that's how God has been helping me to see marriage as it's a place of also building. It's a place of increase. It's a place of growth. It's a place of God is using marriage as an instrument. They're all instruments to mold me, to make me become more like Him. Everything, every single thing. So the moment we begin to see marriage like that, we kind of hold it as sacred, and almost have no choice than to put God in the forefront. You know, it's a threefold cord that cannot be easily broken. And so that to me is important. If we see our job like that, that my job is an instrument that God is using to mold me, to become more like me. My money is an instrument that God is using to mold me. My skill, my gift, the fact that I can lead worship, the fact that I can play instruments, the fact that I'm a good greeter, the fact that I am a teacher, the fact that I can do this, the fact that I'm a gym enthusiast, the fact that I'm a tech bro or tech sis, it's all because God is using it to mold me to become more like Him. I will take every single thing as sacred. I will take every single thing as ministry, right? That's why marriage is a ministry. Your job is a ministry. Your kids are a ministry. Your profession is a ministry. Your money, your finances, they're all ministries. They're not separate parts of your life. They're all together. They're all spiritual life, right? And so, I mean, that is just my encouragement, you know, to everyone. And I just pray God blesses us. You know, I pray that as you've listened to us giggle and laugh and share the good and the ugly and our process and kind of where we're coming from, I just hope something there blessed you. You know, I hope something there touched your heart and just remind you of God's faithfulness. But last question, because my God, he told before you can't embarrass me anymore. Let's end on a romantic, well, not even romantic, we've not been romantic once in this 1 hour. What is your favorite thing about me? What do you like about me the most?
I don't know. Like, I don't have any favorite thing.
Pick one. Pick one.
Ah, okay. So I wanted to say something and she's saying it's PG, so there's no how I can say it. So, but I don't know. I like everything about you. I love everything about you. Maybe the cooking. Okay, she said she pick one by first. By
really?
Cooking.
It is well.
So what do you like about me? Or love about me?
I will say it now. Calm down. You don't like my interior decor skills.
I don't like it.
I'm not asking question anymore. Yeah, episode are finished.
What do you like about him?
So one thing I like about him, and I'm gonna turn this into a preaching, is his kind heart. What happened?
I feel like crying.
You're a liar. Crying about is that he has a kind heart. It's how he treats other people, even beyond how he treats me, is his kindness, is his heart for people, is how much he loves people, loves God, of course, but loves people. That's really, really important. And I'm grateful to God that at least you have that one. I can't be consoled with everything.
We just can sell our car now.
True. We can literally go homeless and Israel will be okay with it so long somebody else has it.
Don't call me out like that, sir.
That's like the only time I'm calling you out. You've called me like 65 times on this episode. But anyways, any last thoughts words for people, not about me or anything, just in general. Just in general, what would you like to say to people?
Thank you all so much for joining this podcast that I was dragged into.
Hey.
And I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you all for supporting my wife and what she loves doing. And it makes her happy. So, me, I just used to listen to all the podcasts. And some of them I learned from it, because obviously I have to be a supporting husband. And I actually do learn from some of them. And not like, I wouldn't say I learn everything from others. Some of them I just have to learn or criticize. I'm like, oh no, you didn't do this right. You have to do this one. And thank you all for supporting her. And I appreciate you guys. Thank you. I think it's a lot. Just an hour.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening. Again, like I said, I hope you all, you know, picked one thing or the other. This is our Christmas gift to you. It's my story. That's how self-aware that I am. But have a good one. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year in advance, or Happy New Year, or Happy 2024 whenever you get to listen to this episode. All of the best. Praying God's beautiful wishes. Bring God's will upon each and every one. Praying that we would all see God and see His goodness and His faithfulness. And we will sing of the goodness of God all the days of our life. See you in season 3 of PGC. It's gonna be a blast, because all of you are not ready for the set of guests we're gonna be having. Like, oh beautiful girl. Anyways, until next time, it's been an absolute pleasure. Have a good day, and a good 2024. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.